Oh, man, if I ever needed a beer more than right now. Jesus Christ, what a day, what a week, what a life, huh? You're listening to Predictably Drunk. This is Sam Marcoux. This is episode number two. Already to number two already. That's a double already's. Starting off well here today, as you can tell. I had a very sick child the last 24 hours. So for those that don't know me, I have an almost two-year-old daughter who's usually a pretty awesome girl, but she has been fighting the flu. First time with the flu. I've been pretty lucky, actually. I've gone about 2 years without ever really having a major illness with her. Usually when she gets sick, it's coughing, sneezing, a little bit of a fever, but nothing major. But this one, holy crap, this is why you don't have children, ladies and gentlemen, is this flu right here. It was insane. I was ready to get rid of her. So here's my advice. If you don't have kids, continue don't having kids. It is a train wreck at times, being a parent. And for people that don't have kids and you think you have responsibilities and you think you have problems, no, you don't. You have no problems whatsoever. You could pack up tomorrow and go on vacation and nobody's going to miss you. What, your fucking dog's going to miss you? Nobody's going to miss you. I have a kid. Anybody who has a kid, everything you do from the moment you have a child until the moment that you die, in the back of your head is, well, how is this going to affect my child? It's a crazy, crazy paradigm shift that you have to go through, that you're forced to go through once you have children. And like I said, for the most part, my kids actually been pretty good. I've heard horror stories and I've seen horror stories of other children where I'm like, oh my God, that kid is going to prison or on the stripper pole when she gets older or he gets older, because it's insane. So mine's not that way. Mine's pretty good. But Jesus, man, when they get sick, it's a different ball game. It's like bringing a baseball to a football stadium. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So I highly recommend not having children if you cannot handle the stress. And if you do have children, I recommend getting rid of them by any means possible. I don't care how you do it. I'm not going to judge you. Fucking, take an ad out on Craigslist or something, just slightly used child, a few bumps and bruises, asking $3,000 OBO or best offer. I would be totally fine with that. I think as a parent, you've earned the right to get a few thousand dollars for your stupid kid who's going to cause you nothing but stress and dig you into an early grave. But if you can't sell your kid, then I recommend, I think you could actually just go to Walmart and leave them there. I actually think that's something you're allowed to do there. Have you ever been to Walmart? Most of the people in this country have been to Walmart. And what Walmart is at least four or five kids with no parental supervision whatsoever running around, knocking into you, taking shit out of your cart. And that's because their parents are Walmart. I think it's a whole program that they have there, is that you could just go in and drop off kids whenever you don't need them. But they're Walmart children. Look it up. Walmart babies. I think that's a thing. They're usually brown of some sort, like Guatemalan or Mexican or something like that, which makes sense. I mean, I think you can do that. I think you just leave them there, and if you need a child down the road, to sew up your pants or to make you a nice new pair of Air Jordans for cheap, then you just go and you borrow one, you take one. And then when you're done, you bring it back and you move on with your life. So that's an option. If you can't sell on Craigslist for a profit, then you just, you drop them off at Walmart. And if that doesn't work, if you just absolutely need to get rid of your kid at any moment, then and only then, as a last resort, do I think that it's okay for you to actually buy them a ticket on Malaysian Airlines. Yes. I know that sounds harsh, but you know what? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And really, it's not that big of an investment, right? You only have to buy a one-way ticket. There's no way that plane's coming back. So that's, Jesus, man, kids getting sick. Like I said, I'm actually drinking right now. I'm drinking Lagunitas Maximus India Pale Ale. I ran down. This is how bad I needed a drink after today. It is raining in California currently. We call it the Hella Storm. And why that's significant is because California, it does not rain here. We don't have seasons. I think California is actually a Latin word for it doesn't rain here. So the fact that it's raining means that A, the traffic in the cars on the roadway are just awful. And B, nobody leaves their house. Nobody. Once one raindrop hits the ground from the sky, we're like, what the fuck is that? Everything shut down. Schools get shut down. Everybody stays home and we wait for the zombies to attack. So that is how desperate I am, or I was, to get a drink tonight after dealing with my kid for the last 2 days, is that I braved the elements. I braved the wet stuff and I walked down to the nearest liquor store and I bought myself a couple of big-ass beers to drink and podcast with. So currently I am drinking Lagunitas Maximus India Pale Ale. And actually, I'm actually surprised I'm drinking this because Lagunitas is a local brewery here in Petaluma. Good beer. But they recently filed a lawsuit against another local brewery, Sierra Nevada, over what they perceive to be a copyright infringement of the letters IPA for India Pale Ale on the label of Sierra Nevada's Hop Hunter IPA. So apparently Lagunitas thought that the IPA for Hop Hunter IPA was a little too close to their Lagunitas IPA, and they actually filed a fucking lawsuit against them. Can you believe that garbage? So I immediately went into, I'm banning myself from drinking Lagunitas until this shit gets cleared up. But apparently that didn't really last long. My loyalty was to grab the first thing in the refrigerator at the liquor store and then get back home to podcast. So actually that lawsuit was dropped actually the next day because there were so many beer fanboys of Sierra Nevada that they Twitter pressured, they bullied the brewmaster from Lagunitas who filed the lawsuit into dropping the lawsuit, which goes, which proves, ladies and gentlemen, that bullying does work. You can do good things if you bully correctly. So all these campaigns that are anti-bullying, no, you should just be anti, ineffective bullying. Ineffective bullying is bad, but effective bullying, good. That's the moral of today's podcast, apparently. But the day before right now, I was actually at lunch with people talking about comedy, and I get a text from the mother of my child who says, hey, your daughter just puked all over the car, which is a concern, and I'm glad she sent me that text because you want to know what's going on with your kids, right? If they did something good or they did something bad, you need to know about it. Otherwise, I totally would throw it in her face later like, well, why didn't you tell me? This is going to come up in court. But so she tells me that, which, okay, kids get sick, not a big deal, gross, I know it's gross, but, I'm at lunch and I'm with people, so I need to focus on what I'm doing right here, and she's a good mother, so she's capable of, cleaning up some puke. Well, then the bombardment happens. 20 minutes later, I've ordered my burger, and I get a picture text from baby mama, and what is it? It is a picture of vomit, my child's insides on the outside, everywhere, all over the car, all over the floor, all over my house, all on the couch, everywhere. So apparently my kid just started just puking nonstop, which is more of a concern, obviously. But what's even more of a concern than that is that I just ordered my fucking food and now I got to stare at vomit. I could smell the vomit through the phone. That's how strong and pungent it was. It was grotesque. I don't even know how I ate that entire meal, every last bit of it. It was delicious. But it was impossible, okay? It was almost impossible to eat that meal after looking at those photos. And they didn't stop. The next thing I know, oh, your kid's got diarrhea. So great. I'm going to get photos of shit and puke while I eat. So I rush home, and I see my kid, and she's miserable. She looks like me on a Saturday morning after a bender, just, on hands and knees, pale, sweaty, kind of confused as to where they are, but knowing full well that she's going to puke again. Not wanting anybody to touch her. It's so funny at that age, too, that they're so adult-like, right? They're just like, don't touch me. I know what's coming next. Don't touch me. I don't want you touching me, motherfucker. I don't care who you are. Don't touch me. So she puked everything up. Everything that she's ever eaten, apparently, came out of this little 30-pound body because she puked about 45 pounds worth of stuff. Got down to the stomach bile, got down to dry heaving, got down to just miserable, right? Just no, couldn't even take a sip of water without throwing it up. And I felt really bad for her, and I felt even worse for my couch and my sheets and my floor because that shit's not coming out, that smell. It is never coming out of any of the upholstery whatsoever. I might as well just burn my townhouse down and start over. I mean, I would take the TV and the podcast equipment out, of course, because, priorities. But I should just burn this fucker down and start over because it's over for me. Everything from here on out is going to smell like a two-year-old's vomit. And I just have to accept that. So I spent all day today with her. And, of course, she didn't puke at all, but she barely ate. But she was healthy enough to watch that little bastard Elmo all day. Okay, she doesn't like Sesame Street. She likes Elmo. So I have to go through every episode of Sesame Street on Netflix and fast forward to the part where Elmo is for 5 minutes and then end that episode and start a new episode and then fast forward to the part where Elmo is again. It's ridiculous how much this kid loves Elmo. I hate it. I hate fucking Elmo. I hate Sesame Street. And I'm convinced when she's old enough, she's actually going to date some redheaded, squeaky-voiced bastard just to fuck with me. And then she's going to have redheaded, squeaky-voiced children, which means I cannot even visit my own grandchildren because I'm going to hate them too. So this is what this kid has been doing to me for the last couple of days. It's crazy. She's not leaving me alone at all. So that's why I'm drinking and ranting. I don't even know. Geez, that went about 11 minutes. that story took on a life of its own. But so that's been my day. I've had a weird week just in general. Not only that, I got hired actually to do a bunch of graphics for a comedy show because I do a lot of my own promotions when I do my own shows. And friends of mine are putting on a show called the 420 Comedy Joke Out, which obviously is a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, hit you over the head with a sledgehammer that they smoke weed. So they're doing this show on April 17th, which makes a lot of sense why they call it the 420 show, right? I guess close enough, but it's on a Friday. So I got hired to do all of the graphics. They're paying me good money to do it. So I'm happy about that. But so while I was here sitting with my child all day, I had to get pictures, and I've been looking at pictures of weed and weed smoke and weed smoking comedians so I could put together the posters and the tickets and everything else and all the promo package for this show, which, by the way, I'm not even going to be on because, A, I don't smoke pot. I don't even know if my mom's listening, but that's the truth. I'm not saying that just so I don't get grounded in my 30s, but I don't smoke pot, and I don't really have a lot of pot humor. So I really wouldn't fit in there. So I'm just sitting here doing a bunch of stuff for a weed show that I have nothing to do with whatsoever, which is fine. Like I said, they're paying me, but I don't know. It might be kind of interesting. I don't know. I guess the good thing about doing a show for weed people is that you could probably just repeat the same joke over and over again since they're not going to remember it anyways, right? I mean, and also, I guess the good thing about doing a show for weed people is that you could just continue to do the joke over and over again, and people wouldn't remember because they have no short-term memory, right? Thank you for the people who got what I just did right there. For the rest of you, go back and try it again. It's maybe it'll get you a little bit later, or maybe you're one of those people that'll be in the audience on April 17th. I'm not sure. So I had that. So I was stressing on that, trying to get that done because I have deadlines to meet, right? These potheads need their shit eventually. That was the deadline they gave me, actually. I said, when do you need these graphics by? And like true potheads, whenever you get around to it, which I thought was so appropriate. But so I got that done today. And then yesterday, while my kid was getting sick, I actually had to run to the pharmacy and buy her some anti-nausea medicine. And while I'm running to the store, I get a call from one of my ex-girlfriends. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but for me, for the most part, I get along with my ex-girlfriends. I've had a couple of bad breakups, but usually we tend to come back to a middle ground and say, hey, this was for the best. Why do we hate each other when we both mutually decided that this wasn't a good thing, right? So I'm in pretty good terms with most of my ex-girlfriends. And the one that called me, it was my girlfriend from high school. So, I mean, that was a long time ago. Bygones are bygones. We've been friends. We support each other in life. But I guess her and her man broke up, her latest man, and she was complaining to me about how, you know, she just seems to keep dating losers. And this is what she said to me. Mind you, I am her ex-boyfriend talking to her on the phone, and she literally says, you know, I'm over the dating game. I have just, my entire life, I have just dated nothing but losers. Nothing but losers in my life. And she's telling me this like she forgot that she dated me. Which made me feel really great for a couple of reasons. A, apparently I wasn't that memorable. And B, if she did remember, she flat out called me a loser right to my face on the phone, right? So that was nice. That was nice of her. So naturally, I called her on her bullshit, and I called her a bunch of names after we hung up, and now I'm talking about her behind her back on the radio or the podcast or whatever you call this form of entertainment. So that happened again yesterday, too. And then, on top of that, I released the first episode of my podcast, cleverly titled Predictably Drunk, as you know, listening to it right now. And I put it on my normal social media, right? Facebook. I put it on my website, sammarcoux.com. I Twitter blasted it. I put it on a couple of forums of places that I visit in terms of sports, you know, where I have a following with my web series and all that stuff. So I put it out there for public consumption. And you have to know, when you do any sort of entertainment, when you're in, even if it's a small public eye like I am, if you're doing stand-up comedy or music or a podcast, that there's always going to be people that are going to come back and tell you why you suck, right? Like, it comes with the territory. I've gone off stage before and had people tell me that I was just absolutely terrible. And I was like, Mom, I don't need to hear that shit right now. Please keep it to yourself. But it doesn't really matter. No matter what you're doing, there's always going to be somebody to tell you why it sucked. So I put it out there. For the most part, I got a lot of positive reviews. I got some nice messages from people who said, hey, you know, I was listening to this and my husband was actually listening as well. And he keeps laughing over it, which is great. You know, that's fun stuff. But it doesn't matter. No matter what, you could have 35 people praise you and then the 36th says something mean and you're going to focus on the 36th person. So I think that's what I'm going to do right now. I guess this is the first edition of Letters from PD Files. And this one's going to come from FinYank13. Okay, I'm going to repeat that name, FinYank13. I'm assuming that's not his real name, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's an online persona. And if I had to guess, Finn for the Miami Dolphins and Yank for the New York Yankees, which means this person is very confused. Very confused. One team is, you know, America's team, wins all the time, is a fantastic role model for what sports organizations are supposed to be. And then the other one is the Yankees. So this person really doesn't know what to think. And then it's FinYank 13. So I can only imagine the 13 is either Dan Marino inspired or possibly Alex Rodriguez, which I, for the sake of this, I'm going to say Alex Rodriguez, which I think 13 months ago was the last time Alex Rodriguez actually played baseball as well. But I actually thought the comment was kind of funny. He said, after listening to the first podcast, seriously, this is like listening to old people talk about church. Get this right, Samuel. So that was very nice of him to compare me to old ladies in church, which I'm assuming meaning he thought it was very boring, extremely boring. So hopefully this is a little bit better for you, FinYank. And also calling me Samuel, which was a nice touch, like he's my parent or something, like he's my fucking dad, which he couldn't be my dad because he's here in my life right now, whereas my dad isn't. So joke's on you, FinYank13. And anyhow, this guy's from Rhode Island, so what the fuck am I caring about a guy from Rhode Island, right? I mean, I think my studio's larger than all of Rhode Island right now. So boom, take that, FinYank. And let's see what else. We had another guy from Ocala, Florida, who, you know, if you're from Ocala, you have to be a pig farmer. Like, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can't be from Ocala and not be a pig farmer. And what he said is that basically I'm not funny, which, fine, I don't care. Thanks for listening. I get money when you listen to my show. So thank you, pig farmer from Ocala. Thank you very much. And those are my letters from PD Files this week on this episode of Predictably Drunk, the podcast. And let's see what else is going on. So this is actually kind of nice. So the episode after this is actually where we're going to start having some guest hosts. I'd mentioned on the first episode that, you know, I'm probably at some point going to settle on having a permanent guest host, or I guess they can't be a guest host if they're permanent, but a permanent co-host. But I'm not quite sure yet or if I'm ready to do that. And B, because I don't want to share the spotlight, and B, maybe I'm going to use this as auditions and let people out in the audience tell me who they like the best. So our first guest is actually going to be on the episode after this one. It's going to be a good friend of mine. In fact, he is the reason I got into stand-up comedy. Well, I mean, he's not my inspiration for getting into comedy, so don't get it twisted. Jeremy Curry, who's going to be our guest, but he is the literally the reason I got on stage, because he booked me on a show without my permission for the very first time and said, hey, you're getting on stage. And that actually happened because he liked my Predictably Drunk videos for the Miami Dolphins, those webisodes that I've mentioned a few times. So he liked those so much, him being a Miami Dolphins fan and a stand-up comedian, that he booked me on a show. I went on the show and I bombed horribly, horribly, really bad. Like when you start... one of the mistakes I think a lot of comedians make when they first start is they're really excited to get on stage and they invite everybody. It's called being a bringer. And it just means you're bringing a lot of people to a show, which is usually good for A, the venue, and B, the promoter and the comedian who put it together, right? Because the more people, the more revenue, the more money they're going to get. So comedians love bringers. You don't want to be labeled as a bringer if you're a comedian, because that just means you're only getting booked because you know people, not because you're funny, which is kind of an insult, right? But anyhow, I was a total bringer. I filled this place. And I'll probably talk about this again on the next episode. But I filled this place. Probably 50, 60 people came to see me in this venue that could probably hold about 100 tops. So I had the audience. I had them. This audience was there to see me. I got a prime spot in the showcase right in the middle. Which at the time, I didn't know what the fuck the difference was. But now I know enough to know that this, you know, being in the middle of a showcase, you know, when you have 9 people going up on stage, you want to be 3rd, 4th, or 5th. That's kind of your prime laughing time. So he booked me. He did me a solid. He put me right in the middle of where I was supposed to be. And I went up there and shit all over the place. I shit worse than my kids shit all over me and my townhome earlier this week. That's how bad I shit. Okay, that stench is still on me years later. There's still people that go to that place and they'll see me every now and then and go, oh my God, that's that guy. That's that guy. Thankfully, I've gotten better since then, but I am going to talk to Jeremy a little bit about that. So he booked me on that show and then forced me to go on again, which I got a little bit better, and then, you know, better and better and better, and voila, here we are. But he is the reason I got into comedy. So I always like to talk to him because he's got an interesting perspective, which is that everybody sucks, which is kind of a nice perspective. You could go on stage and kill for 350 people, and as soon as you get off stage, if the first person you see is Jeremy Curry, he's going to say, that was terrible. You need to slow down. You didn't look at your audience. You suck. You're a fag. That's what he'll say to you every single time. He'll probably use that exact language next on the next episode of Predictably Drunk here. But he's a good guy, helps out a lot of comedians, actually does a lot more than he even thinks he does. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about the comedy business. He's got a good mind for it. I don't know if he's funny. I think he's funny, but I think he's funny for reasons I don't think other people think he's funny. So hopefully that comes across in the interview, but I've got a lot of things to talk to him about. So he's going to be with us actually for a couple of episodes, and we're going to talk comedy. We're going to talk sports. The dude's a degenerate gambler, which I love. I love talking to him about, you know, just sports in general, because he's got a different perspective. I'm a fan, right? Like, I'm a fan of the Dolphins or the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I root for that team to win. He doesn't care if teams win or lose for the most part. He's rooting for a team to cover or to get the over, whatever the case may be. So it's interesting to watch sports with somebody like Jeremy Curry or whatever, you know, friendly gambler that you have in your life, because they just look at life differently, especially when it comes to sports, and it's hard. It's hard to wrap your head around that a little bit. But so he's going to be on here. I also have some other guests coming up after that, which will also be guest hosts. We got a gentleman named Abel Jaramillo. Abel Jaramillo, Jaramillo, which is a Hispanic last name, which is really fucking confusing because all those J's and all those L's, but yet you pronounce them H's and Y's. I don't get that to this day. So if we got any Cubans listening to this, or Mexicans, or any Hispanic people of any sort, Italians who haven't showered in a couple days, I consider you to be Mexican. Explain that shit to me. Why do you put L's and J's in your name and then pronounce them with H's and Y's? I need to know, okay? I've been trying to figure that out forever, and I have no idea why that is. Sorry, people are on my phone's blowing up right now. I got 87 million messages from people who I have no idea who's texting me. But behind Abel, I'm going to have, I'm working on a couple of interviews. One is with a friend of mine who is actually doing improv comedy and actually landed himself he's a spokesperson for a national like amusement park chain, which is kind of an interesting job to get, but it just goes to show you that when you're doing comedy, no matter what you're doing, you can land a job just about anywhere if you're verbose enough. So we're going to try to talk to him. Right now, I cannot tell you the exact amusement park chain that he works for. We're trying to get clearance from his bosses in order to do that. But if so, we'll talk about that and what goes into producing what he has to do. And then also a couple of big-time talents, a gentleman named Kabir Singh, Kabizi. If you don't know who Kabir is, you're slipping. He's one of the young comedians that's coming up in about 2 years. everybody's going to be like, oh yeah, have you heard of Kabir Singh? Well, you're going to hear about him here on Predictably Drunk. This guy won the San Francisco International Comedy Competition. He's been on Comedy Central. He's going to be on Jimmy Fallon here before too long. So the man's coming up, and he's a tremendous talent. He's very funny, and I haven't even asked him to be on the show yet. I'm just going to make sure he gets on the fucking show because, because I'd like for him to be on the show. How about that? That's why we're going to do that. And then we're dealing with Beer Week. The reason why we have the show Predictably Drunk, man, Beer Week. So we've got Double and Triple IPA Fest, which happens at the Bistro in Hayward. And I went to this thing last year. And it's famous for basically it's nothing but double and triple IPAs, which IPAs right now are probably a little bit on the downswing in terms of popularity. They were like the shit. They were like Stone Cold Steve Austin in the 90s for wrestling. There was about 4 years of IPA love, and I still love IPAs. I'm an IPA guy myself, but they've kind of dipped a little bit. I think sours are kind of the ones that are coming up. A lot of people talking about, you know, sours and all these different flavors of sours and the different nuances of doing a sour beer, that IPAs have kind of taken a step back. However, there's still a pretty girl at the ball, and this Double and Triple IPA Fest, man, it is crazy. You spend about $50 to go into this place, and it's all the different breweries that do double and triples. There's no single IPAs. There's no Hefeweizens. There's no fucking Bud Light or Coors Light there. No, you can't get that shit at this place. It is nothing but premium, high-octane, high-alcoholic, imperial, double, triple IPAs. And the big one, of course, is Pliny the Younger, which actually released the day that I'm recording this is the day it was released. And the line to get a 12-ounce cup of Pliny the Younger was about 8 hours. So that's how dedicated alcoholics are. They'll wait in line in downtown Santa Rosa for 8 hours to get, you know, one or two youngers and then move on with their lives. But they are going to tap this at the Double and Triple IPA Fest. It's a triple IPA. And last year, it blew they blew the tap in 20 minutes. And that was it. So that was all you could get. So if you were in line and they blew the tap, you were done. There was nothing else you could do, which I was. I was actually in line to get one, and the tap blew, so I didn't get any. So I had to go to another source in order to get some. But what was nice about it is that all these triples get the love, right? Because they're triple IPA. They're 10, 11, 12, 13% alcohol, and they're rare. So everybody wants to go get the triples. And all the double IPAs are kind of like, they're kind of like the chunky chicks at a bar, if you know what I'm talking about. Like, all the hot chicks are always going to get the guys at the bar. Like, they're always going to get the guys that are going to hit on them, that want to dance with them, that want to fuck them, right? That's ultimately what we're trying to do. And then you got those girls that aren't the nines and the tens, but they're like the sixes and the sevens, right? Maybe they got a nice rack, but they got maybe a little pancake ass, or maybe they got a great ass, but the face just looks like somebody hit it with a waffle iron. I'm not sure. They're just a little bit off, but they're there, and they're available. And that's what the double IPAs turn into at Double IPA Fest. They're there and they're available, and they don't charge you. You know, these guys just want to be noticed with their double IPAs, so they just start giving you beer for free. Which, ironically enough, you drink enough double IPAs that those six and sevens that I was just talking about at a bar become nines and tens anyways. They become triple IPAs. So it's kind of a weird, surreptitious circle of life right there. But that's what it is. So these double IPAs become, for me, become high in demand. I am fine swimming in the medium-sized pool, right? Like, I am fine getting into the sixes and the sevens. Because, if you know, sometimes it's a numbers game. And sometimes those sixes and sevens taste better. That's just how it goes. You know, there's less maintenance with those. You don't have to wait in line just to be told no, right? They're just there, available, saying, please drink me. Love me for who I am. So that's what these doubles become. So I'm hoping to hit Double IPA Fest again, because that is a lot of fun. And you get a lot of just like hop heads are a lot like hockey fans to me, like, especially in America. And in America, hockey fans are, they don't really hate other hockey fans, right? Like, I'm an LA Kings fan and I live in San Jose, California. And the Sharks have a good fan base. They have a really good fan base. And they don't necessarily hate me, even though our teams are rivals. They're just happy that there's other hockey fans to talk hockey with, because it's such a rare breed. So when you get into that upper echelon of hopheads, which is what San Francisco Beer Week is, yes, you're going to get the frat people that are just getting tanked. You're going to get some people that really don't know a lot. But once you get into these little cuts where they have these little IPA fests and these just different little tiny festivals, that's when you just sit back and you talk, and somebody goes, well, I like this beer more. And the other guy goes, well, I like this beer more. And nobody cares. Everybody's like, great, good for you. It's like a very communal experience, which is nice. Plus, you get to drink a lot of beer for free. Did I mention that? I don't know if I mentioned that. So that's kind of a nice thing. But hey, that's going to be my time here, I think, right now. I just wanted to jump on here, bitch about my kid, bitch about my week, which is what podcasting's all about, right? Getting your shit out there, bitching about it, resolving it. It's like therapy, 30-minute therapy sessions, which would have been a great name for a show, actually. Maybe I'll look that up. Maybe I'll change this. Maybe you'll be listening to 30-minute therapy sessions with Jeremy Curry next week. But yeah, stay tuned. Keep subscribing. Hit subscribe. You can find me on iTunes under Predictably Drunk. You can find it at sammarcoux.com. Check me out on Facebook. Check me out on Twitter, Tiger Clomedy. And Jeremy Curry coming up for the next 2 weeks after this. We'll have a great time. We'll talk to him. Feel free to send me an email, send me a message. Obviously, I'm not afraid to shy away from criticism, as FinYank13 found out. And we'll talk about it, man. Just enjoy. Keep doing this with me, and we'll have a good time. Have a good night. Until then, keep drinking.